Welcome to the Medical Marketing Executive Podcast, where we dig deep into the stories from the trenches of real-life medical marketing. I'm Kurt LaFever from Whiteboard Geeks, and I'm here with Dan, the Senior Director of Growth Marketing at Drive Medical. Dan, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Kurt. How are you doing?
I'm pretty awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on and joining us today. For the first question, introduce yourself for me, and what does your role really mean?
Sure. So I'm Dan Tramontozzi. I'm the growth marketer here at Drive Medical. I think the term growth marketing has sort of caught on in the past 5 years or so. And it's really, you know, someone who has, I think, the ability to have a deep understanding in every aspect of marketing and really hands-on technical experience in executing and then collaborating with, you know, other teams such as IT, development, you know, sales, customer service, the entire company, and to really understand what are the priorities, how does the marketing team kind of shift on a weekly or monthly basis to fulfill those, you know, priorities. So in a nutshell, you know, doing just about everything on the marketing front and leading a great team of 7 people right now within Drive Medical.
Awesome. Sounds like a very interesting role. Sounds like a pretty awesome team to have as well. I was curious, at Drive Medical, like, who's your main target audience?
Sure. So, I mean, we're mostly a B2B company, right? Traditionally, we are a B2B company, but like most B2B manufacturers over the years, you know, e-commerce has come a thing. And to keep up, I think, with the times, you have to be on those types of platforms. So I would say, you know, we have a split between B2B focus where obviously, you know, our distributors and our current partners, that's how we sell our product for the most part. But then there's another side of that, and it's, you know, the direct consumer side. So the Walmarts and the Amazons and kind of the retail side of that. We do have a couple of e-commerce partners as well. But for the most part, you know, our audience are our B2B customers, where we're very product focused. But at the same time, we're trying to get into, you know, telling the story of the people who use our products. So we manufacture, you know, wheelchairs, walkers, rollators, canes, that type of, you know, that type of medical equipment. And that's been the focus, really. That's where it's kind of shifted the past 12 months or so, where we're being not so much less product focused, but we're trying to get a good balance between the two and really understand, you know, who are the people that are using our products and how do we get their voice heard and how do we, you know, how does that, you know, how is that being spoken about internally? How is it being marketed? You know, is it driving product innovation? All those types of things. So we really have, you know, our audience is broken down into a handful of customer segments, whether it's B2B or direct to consumer.
Awesome. Awesome. That's super interesting. So yeah, I do see the value in marketing when you want to see what like the customers have to say. I was kind of curious, like when you develop strategies revolving around that, do you actually get to like talk with these customers or is it just like from the reviews? I was kind of curious on that.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm new to Drive, so I've been here for a little over a year, and that was actually, I had that same question, and I kind of asked everybody, you know, what are we doing about the people that actually use these products? Because, you know, without them, there is no Drive Medical. So, you know, do they have a voice? And what we did was we actually introduced a new UGC campaign, and we partnered with a great ambassador of ours. And he does these interviews. And the first one we actually did was me interviewing him. His name is Travis Davis. He has his own podcast called Off the Crutch. Just a great guy. And he's a big ambassador of Drive Medical as he uses some of our products. And he's just very well spoken. So it was kind of a no-brainer to go with him. And really, we're trying to get people to reach out to us or we're reaching out to them to say, hey, you know, we want to share your story. You never know who you're going to, you know, inspire. You know, there's a reason why someone has to be, you know, in a wheelchair, and it might not be the best case scenario for that person. And we just want, you know, to create this type of community to say, you know, how are these items or these products enhancing your life? But really, you know, we called this new user generated campaign My Driving Force, because we don't want to talk about the product. We want to talk about what that product does to enhance that person's life. So we started that with Travis, and it's been a little tough getting people to want to, you know, jump on a podcast and get interviewed, but it's actually, you know, sparked a couple marketing strategies and just overall communication internally with here at Drive where, you know, some of our PMs are starting their own podcasts and it's going out to sales reps and whatnot. So we saw that, you know, it's kind of paying dividends, even though we're not getting the response we want out of it currently. You know, it has influenced other people to get out there and start talking about the product, but really also, you know, how is it benefiting the people that are using it?
Right on. Yeah. I mean, just doing the podcast, sometimes it is a little difficult to get people willing to spend a couple minutes chatting about it. But I mean, I can see you guys growing as well. I feel like that's a great mission that you're doing. And I feel like it can really be a great marketing tool for you guys. But I was curious, other than that, is there like any really big rocks for you guys to move?
There's always big rocks to move. When you're dealing with a traditional manufacturer and a B2B business, I think when you look at where the trends are currently, and this isn't Drive specific. I'm seeing this, you know, in previous roles, you know, coming from Unilever, you know, 100-year-old manufacturer. I was brought on to run one of their first e-commerce acquisitions. And, you know, at the time, e-commerce, it wasn't a thing for manufacturing companies. You know, your traditional distribution is just that, traditional, and it's through almost, you know, 95% third-party partners. So now as the world is kind of changing and people just want to go on, let's say, Amazon and get something the next day, it's because it's seamless, it's easy, it's trusted, they know what they're going to get. It's free shipping, it's free returns. They've made the process almost impossible not to be on that platform. But there's, you know, rocks to move within that platform. As you're shifting, I would say, just overall demand of your own product onto a platform like Amazon, it's at a cost. So there's pros and cons to everything. The pros obviously are you're not really touching that product. They're handling the shipping, the customer service, all that stuff. So that's a huge pro. The cons are, you know, they're not necessarily sharing who those customers are. So you never know who's buying your item. And there's, you know, I've read recently that they're going to change that next year, where they're actually going to give you the ability to email these customers on their platform. We'll see, you know, what that looks like. But that's definitely a big obstacle for us. When you look at trying to grow a brand and have that brand awareness, when you're making all these sales on Amazon, how do you continue that conversation with that customer and build a relationship? It's really hard. So that's one. And then I think just in general, I was actually listening to another episode you recently recorded. And I think it's just, again, the atmosphere that traditional B2B marketers are in right now. And I follow a lot of great influencers, if you would, in the B2B space. And it's like we're all talking about the same thing. And one of the big rocks that we're trying to, you know, push is the lack of resources, or I guess the lack of urgency. And then also just kind of dealing with some old technology. I feel like, you know, B2B companies are a very large ship to steer, and they need to be a little bit more nimble. And the good news is, you know, here at Drive, we are trying to push for that. We have some great support from our leadership, and we made a lot of big strides in the past 12 months in terms of, you know, cutting ties with some agencies, bringing things in-house, being able to move a lot faster, you know, measuring our ROI. And, you know, using data to kind of steer that ship has been our goal the past year. And I think we'll continue to influence, you know, where we go in terms of, you know, the marketing team making our case to get more resources to take advantage of some of these tools that are now available, you know, in this decade, if you would, and use it to drive better ROI and more sales and, you know, push that, you know, push for industry dominance and, you know, market share is really what we're trying to do. And all while obviously creating a good product.
Awesome. Yeah. And just from like chatting before and learning about you, I've seen that like a lot of growth has happened since you've came on board. And I was like curious, since you did join around like a year and a half ago, was it like kind of difficult joining the company like mid COVID? Was there like a lot of strategies that you had to like change with like the different technology and just like being in the pandemic, going like digital? I was curious on like your thoughts and how it really happened for you.
Yeah, that's a great point. Was it difficult joining during COVID? I would say, yeah. I would say yes and no. So obviously we're like the rest of the world, we're seeing some supply chain constraints, which is, you know, obviously across the board. So, but I actually looked at that as a positive. We were restructuring this marketing team so much at the time when I came in that it was almost like I guess the pressure was off us a little bit to be like going right into like, okay, performance mode. It kind of allowed our team to take our time in building a new foundation, introduce new technology. We introduced a new email platform, data platforms. You know, we fixed all of our tracking. We're in the process of automating some communications through email and SMS. And we needed that time to build all that stuff. So while, you know, the world was kind of crumbling and, you know, manufacturing slowed up a little bit, it gave the marketing team gave us time to, I guess, fit in and settle in with this new way of this new approach that I was kind of, you know, I laid the roadmap for back in 2021. So to be honest, I looked at it as a positive. I think the rest of the team did. And we took that time to, you know, I took the time to coach a lot of our marketing team members. We have great, you know, very talented people. And I just felt like we weren't tapping into their full potential. So that was something that personally, like I wanted to do to really help everyone on the team. And, you know, we've pulled some people from the product side onto the marketing team. And I think we're just creating this just positive buzz. And the way we do that is by reporting on positive things. So like we weren't really understanding what our results were, what the ROI was particular campaigns, you know, a couple of years ago. And now we're tracking everything in almost real time. And it's almost justifying like, hey, you know, the marketing team is making a difference here. And we're here to help everybody. You know, that I don't think that was ever the case. Like I said, we have very talented people and we had some agencies that just weren't a good fit for us. So I made a lot of changes a year ago. But it was definitely difficult. You know, it's hard to always be measuring or reporting on positive results when there's, you know, supply chain issues. And we kind of know that was the main issue, right? We can't sell some products that we don't have in stock, that type of thing. So we're getting better on that every single day. I think the world in general hopefully is seeing, you know, positive bounce back there. But I guess going back on your original question, it was a little bit hard, but I took advantage of it. And we used that time to kind of restructure.
Awesome. Yeah, it sounds like a ton of changes that you guys had to go through, but it sounds like you didn't step back. You tackled them. And it sounds like everything's going to go up and up, very positive for you guys. So excited to learn. Hope to see some more of you guys out there. But I just want to take a quick moment to give a shout out to our sponsor, Whiteboard Geeks. Do your PowerPoints make your eyeballs bleed? Does no one understand your complicated messages? Hand-drawn whiteboard videos boost your engagement by 235%. Go to whiteboardgeeks.com. All right, Dan. So yeah, I love the path that you took. Super interesting and very informative to learn about. But I was curious, like, what's your biggest win or accomplishment that you're extremely proud of?
Within Drive?
It's completely up to you, whatever you think fits the shoes.
My biggest win, I would say a couple of years ago, I had a great mentor and he really taught me how to work with people. And I've had a handful of mentors after that. And I'll say this, I think the biggest win for me, especially, you know, someone trying to get into the marketing field, is having just a great mindset and not willing to, you know, stick with the status quo. And, you know, you hear this a lot. You know, well, this is the way we used to do it. And that just is not acceptable anymore. Being that we're in this industry and a lot of these manufacturing industries they're old and it's very hard to get them to change. And I just feel like the ones that do and get a jump start on that type of trend or new technology or whatever it may be, they're going to win. You know, like I mentioned, we did this, when I was at Unilever, they acquired an e-commerce company and we grew that 500%. And that was not a thing back then for manufacturers. They were not making their own e-commerce platforms. And I'll tell you the reason why they did it was because they wanted the customer data. They would lose all of their customer data or that last mile data because of their traditional distribution. And they wanted to know who was buying it and how could they make the product better, the experience better? How could they, you know, benefit both sides, provide value, and, you know, really understand how do we grow as a business by providing better value to our customers. And I think going back to that was the one thing that I learned was having that open mindset and willingness to learn all the time, but also like the ability to understand that things are changing and take a little bit of risk. That's who wins. And I think that's just me generally speaking. in terms of like my career, but I would say like personally, when I'm open and I'm learning and I'm also, you know, mentoring and coaching my team, that's when everyone's firing on all cylinders. And it just comes down to mindset, really. It's just having a positive mindset. And I'll drill it in one more time. I mean, that's just helped me personally, but also tremendously with my own career. And I think it's helped Drive and our marketing team and myself the past, you know, year and a half being here at Drive. What is, you know, we don't like to hear no. And we're going to do everything that we can to set ourselves up to succeed. And then, you know, once we're at that position where I feel like we are now, then we're going to start pushing the envelope and running more experiments and just having that mindset to say, hey, like we can really do something here. And the growth is going to be very visible. And I think that's something that's exciting and new for Drive.
Sweet. Yeah, that is extremely huge. And like you were saying back in your other company, you kind of had to take that risk, but it really paid off. And sometimes that's just what you got to do, especially in today's changing world. That's for sure.
Absolutely. You know, in this type of industry too, the product's not changing dramatically, you know, on a year-to-year basis. So whatever, you know, areas of the business that you can focus on and enhance, whether it's user experience or, you know, how you're spending ad dollars or something like that, all that little bit, like just a little small adjustments for a company this size can make a tremendous, you know, lift when you're looking at, you know, dollars or whatnot. So,
of course. So for my last question I got for you, it's like a little bit of a two-part question. I believe you touched into it a little as well. But I was curious, like, is there any big aha moment from your years as a medical marketing executive? And is there also any advice that you would give to like one of our listeners that wants to come into a position similar to you?
Sure. For Drive, there was a lot of aha moments in the beginning, and we made a lot of changes in the first like 4 months. Some agencies, you know, we weren't tapping into them as often because of just the way I think the working relationship was. So, you know, I ran an audit on a lot of the agencies, and as a result, we gave a lot of that power to our internal employees that said, like, listen, I can do this, but they just weren't given the opportunity. And now they're doing all the marketing from start to finish and they're reporting on it. So we set them up to succeed. And I think as a result, we're just much more motivated. We're tracking our, you know, efforts. And I think that gives you a sense of, I guess, motivation, but a sense of satisfaction within your job. We didn't have that. We were outsourcing a lot of that satisfaction, and now we brought that in. So that was a big aha moment for me at Drive. And then I won't go into the crazy detail, but also, you know, some of the new platforms that we've introduced just allows us to do our job quicker, see results faster, and do just more in terms of, you know, what this team was capable of doing. Our hands were tied, and now we own kind of the keys to our kingdom in terms of what we want to do. So those are the two aha moments. And, you know, going back on, I think what I was touching on earlier, and I can transition this into, you know, what's my advice for someone coming into this field is don't stick with the status quo. Always, you know, challenge the entire organization and try to, and as long as there's going to be a positive result, right? Obviously, you're not out here to make things harder on people, but I would say always be willing to learn. One thing that we do with our team is, you know, I have a lot of one-on-ones and I love to coach and mentor, and a lot of the marketers on our team are brilliant. And like I mentioned, they're very capable of doing a lot more. So my job is to enable them and put some tools in front of them that they can do all that on their own and learn and, you know, constantly just push themselves to not be in the status quo. And I think I have to do that on a daily basis as well. You know, there's some days like today is a rainy day here in New Jersey, and, you know, I have to just, that can't affect you. I'm going down a rabbit hole a little bit here, but I guess to end on this, what's my advice is to invest in yourself. You know, I don't know out here if anyone listens to Alex Hormozy. He's a great influencer for me. And he has a saying called don't invest in the S&P, invest in the S in me. And what he means is, you know, get mentors, do your research. A lot of this stuff can be learned for free online. Listen to podcasts like this and, you know, anywhere you can get that information, and like I mentioned, 99% of it's free, you're going to be benefiting not just yourself in the long run, but also your company. So that's, you know, one thing that I always push on. We have a lot of new people on our team, a lot of new marketers, And, you know, when I have one-on-one conversations with them, that's just what I try to get across is like, I'm here if you need anything. You know, I do one-on-one coaching sessions with them. We have a lot of fun with it. They're constantly learning. They want to learn, which is great. And my job is really just to set that up so they succeed, you know, here at Drive and but personally always be succeeding. Because if they're learning on their own and they're coming, you know, with us with new ideas and it's a positive impact in the long run, you know, that's great for them. They have that knowledge, but it's also great for Drive because you have these motivated people that are just, you know, like I said, not willing to just be the average and they want to try new things because it's exciting. And so that's what we've been trying to do in the past couple months here.
Right on. That's some awesome advice. And I really agree with you. I mean, over here at Whiteboard Geeks, my managers are my mentors and we have like a best friend relationship. It's really awesome. And it really shows how nice they can be and how helpful, like they want to like have your back and help you grow and become the best that you possibly can. And it seems like you guys have the same culture over there. So I can see where you guys get your growth as well. So that's really, really neat.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you to our audience for listening to this episode of the Medical Marketing Executive Podcast. I'm Kurt Lefevre from Whiteboard Geeks, and a huge thank you to Dan for coming on and joining us today.
Thanks, Kurt.